The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Each of us have had a relationship with the word evidence. Is that true? Right? For example, when we were 2 years old and our parents asked us, "Who ate the donut?" And we said, "Not me," but there is sugar all around our mouth. At that point, we are on the wrong side of the evidence. But curiously, it is true that we can be on the right side of the evidence or on the wrong side of it. But the purpose of evidence really is to provide truth with undeniable facts. And by listening to the gospel message today, we get a sense that Christianity is on the right side of evidence. Basically, Christianity has nothing to fear regarding the evidence of its claims. In this case, the veracity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here is the caveat. Just because you are on the right side of the evidence does not mean that human justice will admit your evidence as irrefutable. That's why sometimes we have innocent people in prison. But God's justice is very different, because God sees everything, even what we miss. God can see that. Our relationship with evidence should not be that complicated. And that's what Jesus shows us after the resurrection. He says, you want to see evidence? Come on with me. See my hands. Now touch my side. You want to see evidence? Is it still complicated for you? Come. It's not that complicated. Come and see and touch for yourself and believe. But I bet they had more questions, and I know I would have had more questions. For example, I would have asked Jesus, "But how did you get in here without using the door?" I'm not sure. Maybe you might have even more other questions that you had for Jesus. And when you get to meet him, I'm pretty sure you will have enough time to ask Jesus that. He said that he had come so that as the Father sent him, that so he sends us. So he had come so that we can continue his mission, and he had accomplished his mission, and so he wanted us to continue that mission in the world. And remember that the disciples were still perplexed, and they were frightened, and they were isolated, and so he began with reassuring them and telling them, "Peace be with you." And that is really healing. Deep down you, the walls of your heart, peace be within your walls, inside your life. And he breathed on them. And that brought me lots of pictures from the Old Testament of Ezekiel, when God told the servant of God, "Now prophesy, immortal, tell these bones in the valley, breathe of them, and then they will have life." And the creative power of God that brings life. And so he breathes on them, he brings new life. The old is gone, now it's the new you. They were sad, they were perplexed. What are we going to do? The Jews are going to get us as well as they got Jesus. But all that changed. All that changed. You will, perhaps one day when we meet them, we'll ask them, "What happened to you? What happened to you when he breathed on you?" And here is the thing. Apostle Thomas reveals a lot of things for us. He wasn't there initially, so he couldn't believe, which tells me that we are in the same way as well. We want to know things. We want to see things so that we can believe them. We love easy things with simple explanation, not the things that are outside the scope of our experience. In some way, we feel comfortable with the familiar, and we are skeptical of the supernatural or the unexplainable. For example, if you put me in a cockpit of a B-17, I am sure I would be completely lost. I wouldn't know what to do. But there are people who know what to do, but there are people who absolutely get to understand. I may not understand a whole lot, but I trust you, Jesus. I trust you that you will lead ahead. So with Jesus, I don't know about you, but there is a lot of things that we don't understand, but yet you get amazed each time. How many people have had miracles happen in their lives? Just because you have been in touch with Jesus. How many people can say things in their lives have completely changed the moment they decided to tell Jesus, "I want to walk with you. I want to hand over my life with you"? How many people? I mean, pretty sure if I tell you to raise hands, I will see way, way many two hands. And guess what? It baffles me still that Jesus still entrusts us with his mission, even when he knows we still entertain doubts and we still have lots of struggles and burdens. And that's why he began by healing us, as it was with Thomas. "Peace be with you. Peace be with you within your heart, within your being, within your entire worldly outlook. Peace be with you. And do you want to know? Inspect my hand. Now touch on my side and see that it's me." And his life lightened and says, "My Lord and my God." He believed. And you know what? I came to believe as well because of Thomas' testimony. I came to believe because of Peter, Paul, Polycarp, and many, many others, billions of other believers that have come after them. And you know what? They died for it. They died for it. To me, their evidence, their testimony is good enough evidence for me that I know it is very true what they tell me. And John tells us their testimony is true and worthy of our faith. And our trouble is that many times we've been on the wrong side of evidence. I may never have been in jail, but evidence might be against me. So we, in our lives, we've messed up quite a great deal, and Jesus have come to make sure that there, by repentance, there is forgiveness of our sins, and he tore them. And clearly you understand that they are still, it's a journey. They're still on a journey, and he tells them, by the way, I am telling you, go out and preach the forgiveness of sins. They themselves are still struggling to understand about the forgiveness of sins. And he tells them, you are going to go and forgive. Don't you know how much I forgave you? How much it was hard for you? Now you understand. Go tell others about the forgiveness of sins. Don't you know what your Father has forgiven you? Now go forgive and teach about forgiveness. I am convinced that Jesus knew how hard life would be for the believers. He knew they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to be strong in the face of persecution, in the face of a world that is increasingly becoming ungodly. And Jesus needed to give them that peace so that they can battle doubt and that they can battle adversity, loneliness, depression, and indifference, you name it. All the struggles that we have, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will be able to battle all that. So today I pray that we would open our lives for the life of God to come in and dispel our doubts and take away our burdens and uplift us in our struggles. So I pray for more faith, for strength, and for courage to serve Christ in the world. Amen.